Turn left now and walk up the brick sidewalk. Past the salon on your right, and there's a Dunkin' Donut ahead on the right. Go up to it. Now stop here, right here. You see this row of cobblestones at your feet? You see where they lead? To the right?
That's right. Walk down there, down that alley, into the darkness. You are entering the oldest section of Boston, the Blackstone Block. In the 1700s, this area was the very center of life in Boston. What souls have walked this way? What footsteps have echoed over these cobblestones?
Now you're coming to the end of the alley. It's opening up. There's a little yard on your left behind a gate. Keep walking over the cobblestones.
Choked thick with shadows, these streets. The shades of sailors and midwives, rebels and redcoats. These are the men and women whose lives were spent among these buildings.
Now you're going to take this left, right here. Take this right onto Union Street.
Go to the Union Oyster House on your right. There is the oldest restaurant in America, a legendary spot for seafood and merriment.
Now you're going to walk right past the first entrance to the Union Oyster House on your right. Just go past the door and stop at the window on the other side. Now look in the window. There should be a funky little shark jaw hanging from the window. You see it? If you look in at the window, you might see some very big-ass lobsters. New England style, baby.
This is Marianne Milano. I own the Union Oyster House with my brother. Look inside. Try to see the old horseshoe-shaped bar. This is the place to experience the miracle of raw oysters. One of Boston's most famous 19th century politicians, Daniel Webster, used to sit here and have his favorite meal. 6 plates of oysters and 6 glasses of brandy. We try not to encourage our customers to do that these days. If you look up at the second floor, an interesting guy used to live up there before it was a restaurant, about 1800. A young guy rented a boarding room for a while under the name Monsieur de Orléans. The monsieur gave French lessons to earn money, but he eventually left for Europe, where he was coronated Louis-Philippe, King of France, last of all the French monarchs. I wonder if, on his throne, surrounded by responsibilities and conspiracies, if King Louis-Philippe's mind ever wandered back to a simpler time when he taught French in his dusty room up there.
All right, now turn and stand so you're facing the Union Oyster House. And look to your left. Start walking that way. All right, now up here on your right, you're going to bear right down this little cobblestone street. You're passing the Bell in Hand Tavern on your left. That, my friend, is the oldest tavern in America. You're going to pass the Green Dragon on your right, the headquarters of the revolution. Keep walking. If it's a Friday or a Saturday, get ready for Haymarket, baby. It's a very cool, old-style, classic farmer's market that takes place here every Friday, every Saturday. If you're walking through, talk to the vendors. They are just classic, classic personalities. Take a right now, onto Hanover Street. You're going to cross the street up ahead, Blackstone Street. You should see the Customs House Tower, you know, the tower with the clock on it, way off on your right. That's how you'll know you're going the right way. Now you should be at a traffic light. You're going to pause the tour here and walk straight across this street toward Mother Anna's restaurant. You see it? It should be up ahead. There's a 6-story brick building up there and a small gold dome, you know, to the right of that building. You good? Just check your map if you're nervous or you're not feeling right about this. So you're going to press pause now and meet me on the other side of this street. Now walk forward. There's a lot of construction going on all around you. You're about to get the inside scoop on what's really going on here. Now stop walking where you are. You see, if you turn to the left, there's a funky looking bridge way off in the distance. You see that?
Hi, I'm Dan McNichol. I used to work on this project called The Big Dig. I was a spokesperson for several years, and then went off and wrote a book about it. A best-selling book called The Big Dig. Pretty original, huh? Imagine building the Panama Canal under New York City. That's pretty much what was done right below you. We cut Boston open and put 42 highway miles of lanes under the city. It was the greatest engineering challenge of our time. The new symbol of Boston rises just to the north. It's the Leonard P. Zakum Bunker Hill Memorial Bridge. A very long name for a very wide bridge. It's just about a half a mile away. It's the widest cable-stay bridge ever constructed in the world. And it's where traffic from the north enters the city and passes below it in a 10-lane wide tunnel. The Big Dig is costing $15 billion. That's billion with a B. 20 years from start to finish. During the peak of construction, it had a budget of over $3 million a day. The Big Dig removed a giant green elevated highway that tore through the city when it was built in the 1950s. It towered over where you're standing, almost 100 feet in the air. Excuse my French, but the highway was butt ugly. A nasty, rusting, industrial green monster. Architectural vandalism? Probably. Plus, it had some of the worst traffic jams in the country's history. The Big Dig is putting that old highway under your feet. Yep, the old highway is under the city. Boston will be reconnected to its historic waterfront. And in a remarkable contrast to what used to be here, the Big Dig creates 300 acres of new open space, making it the largest urban park building project in the country's history. Years from now, when it's done, and this is all green parks and landscape plazas, you'll be able to remember this when you were standing on top of the most complex construction project in the history of the modern world.
Keep walking now. This is Cross Street up ahead. You know what you're gonna do? You're gonna cross it. Press the pause button now and meet me under the sign for Mother Anna's restaurant on the other side of the street.
Continue walking up Hanover Street as you listen. This is Boston's Italian neighborhood, the North End. To show you around, here's local guy Luigi DeMarco.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the North End. Kind of cool, huh? It's probably really different than what you're used to, so take it all in. The sights, the sounds, and even the smells are what make this neighborhood so special. Not only to the North Enders, though. A lot of people come from around the country to see it. It's a community. We all know each other, and we all really care about each other. You know, I've been all across America, and I've never seen a place like this. Well, not in the big cities anyways. This is a place where families have settled 50, 60 years ago. And you try to tell them, listen, there's life beyond Commercial Street, but they don't want to hear it. They don't care. Everything they need is right here. The restaurants, cafes, churches, they're all in the neighborhood. Why would they leave, man? You know, not for nothing. Who can really blame them? This is the oldest neighborhood in Boston. It wasn't always this nice. This was a rough place. Always a really tough immigrant section. The Irish came first, then the Jews. Then in the early 1900s, the Italians came in, and like my father from a small town just outside of Naples, we never left. You know, we called the North End home. We called America home. We loved being American, but we really loved being Italian. Now, seriously, though, who wouldn't? Walk up a little further till you see my place, Cafe Graffiti, and stop there. Welcome to my joint, Cafe Graffiti. Me and my family have been running this place for a long time, and it's a true neighborhood hangout. You know, days, they start and end here for a lot of people. They just come in, relax, catch up with some old friends, or make some new ones. Come on in. It's a personal invite to drink some great cappuccino and see some of the characters who make the North End what it really is, home. And if you see a big guy behind the counter with a shaved head, that's me, Big Lou. Don't be shy. Come up. Say hello. Let me know what you think of the place. The place that I call home.
Stop the tour if you want to head in for a cappuccino. I definitely recommend it. Rest your feet. Take it easy. When you're ready to move on with the tour, we're going to walk to the old headquarters of the Boston Mafia. So we're going to go now. We're going to keep walking up Hanover Street. Yeah? You with me? Let's go. You're at the corner of Prince and Hanover right now. You're going to pause the tour and cross over Hanover. So you're going to go left and meet me on the other side of the street by Café de la Sport. So you're in front of Café de la Sport. So you're in front of Café de la Sport now. Start walking down Prince Street. Passing St. Leonard's Church on your right. There's some basketball courts over across the street on the right. Dino's is over on your left. They actually have unbelievable subs. I highly recommend going there if you're hungry. Personally, my favorite is the tomato and mozzarella sub. The caprese, man, it's just delicious. You're going to cross over Salem Street right here up in front of you and go towards Bova's Bakery. Now you're on the other side of Salem Street, right? Walk past Bova's and keep walking along Prince Street as you listen. Here's Dick Lear, an award-winning Boston journalist and co-author of The Underboss, The Rise and Fall of a Mafia Family.
Hi, I'm Dick Lear. The North End is peaceful now. Visitors identify the neighborhood with Paul Revere and the old North Church. Continue to walk up Prince Street. But you know, the streets of the North End were long a protective cover for a more sinister kind of rebel, the Boston Mafia. You're headed to 98 Prince Street, where one of the most daring chapters in Boston crime history took place back in 1981. The North End was the perfect haven for the Boston Mafia. You're approaching its old headquarters, ruled by the Angiulo brothers. Frankie, Mikey, Nicky, Danny, and the boss, Jerry Angiulo. The FBI just couldn't penetrate the North End. People were too tight here. The neighborhood was like the mafia's own security system. And up here, on your left, is 98 Prince Street, an inconspicuous little building that was the Angiulo Fortress.
Hi. This is Bob Fitzpatrick, and I was the FBI chief for the Organized Crime Squad in Boston. Hey, look, there's only one way to get Jerry. That's Jerry Angiulo. He's the boss of the mafia in Boston. We had to put a bug in there. Angiulo never thought we were crazy enough to break in and bug his own headquarters. Get that? Hey, picture this now. It's a freezing night, really, really cold. It's January 19th, 1981, and the streets are empty, cold wind blowing down, two guys, a gal coming down the street, and they're both swigging whiskey. They hop up these stairs, and they pick that lock, and then bang, we're inside. And just like that, imagine that. FBI agents were now in mafia headquarters. And you know what? The place didn't even have an alarm. Nothing. Our agents, we were just like shadows. We're in there installing the bugs in the ceiling, in the walls, and then we're through. We creep out of there. We're down these steps, right in front of you. And boom, we disappear into the night. You know, we heard the mafia like no one else ever heard him before. We heard Jerry, invisibly sitting on his lap. Ah, the guy, he had a temper. Angry guy. You really don't want to piss him off. And the guy would talk business. But then all of a sudden, every night, 7:30, the guy would turn on a TV and he'd only watch Wild, Wild World of Animals. Get it. Here's a guy, a predator, sitting there watching predators. What a guy. But you know, it was worth it. We got everything on tape. We got Jerry's loan sharking. We got his gambling ring. We got extortion. And most important, we got this.
Let me put it to you this way. If you had this kid, then he goes to the grand jury, you're gonna get indicted. Strangle him. Get rid of him. Hit him in the f***ing head.
We busted Jerry right at Francesca's. Francesca's is a little pizza place right around the corner. And that's where we nailed him. I brought the FBI agents in, and we busted him, sitting right there at the table. I looked him in the eye, and I said, Jerry? And he said, yeah. I said, Bob Fitzpatrick, FBI, you're under arrest. The guy looked at me kind of cold, and I said, look, Jerry, don't give me any problems. If any of your guys cause any problems, then you're going to have a bigger problem. And let me remind you, Jerry, it's your voice on the tape. You did yourself in. Well, the judge put him away. And he put him away for a pretty long time. And here we are, 98 Prince Street. You know, it's not much to look at. And people go by every day. And they don't know what happened here. This was out of the movies. In fact, it was better than the movies. And I can tell you that.
All right, now, you're going to cross to the other side of Prince Street, on the other side from 98 Prince, turn around and walk down the street, back towards Hanover. That's the Corner Cafe up ahead on the left. It's a good local place, you know, pretty cheap drinks for the city of Boston. They actually, believe it or not, have free pasta and salad every Tuesday night. Not a bad deal if you're in town and you want to meet some local people. Cross Salem Street here and keep on walking. Stop walking here when you see the basketball courts on your left. Before I moved across the harbor, I used to live in this neighborhood, and I'd come here and play basketball on these courts all the time. One Sunday morning, I remember it was about 9 a.m., my older brother came in and visited me, and we were shooting around on these courts, and a very dapper older gentleman passed us by, and he sat on one of the benches over on the left, and he started talking to us and telling us the various life lessons that he had learned in his 80-something years on this planet. Not the least important of which was to always tip your hat to a lady, even if she's a whore. It's true. True story. Very good advice from a local man. And I've followed it ever since. Cool. Now keep walking up Prince Street. Let's go. Walk past that beautiful peace garden on your left, past the lambs and the angels. Man, it's so beautiful here in the spring and the summer. Just beautiful. I keep walking. You're back at Hanover Street now. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to pause the tour and cross over Hanover Street. Meet me. Keep walking straight ahead, down Prince Street. Yeah, just keep walking towards up ahead. And yes, that is yet another church. It's the Sacred Heart Church. You're past passing Giovanni's on the right. Walk toward Mama Maria's. See it up ahead? Now turn right at the cobblestone square. You're going to walk down the sidewalk. Yep, keep going. Past the gas lantern up ahead on the left. Now look up. There's a silver anchor up there. This is the Mariner's house over on the right. Just keep going. Up ahead, there's very likely a ton of people milling around. You see the brown clapboard home up ahead on the right? Walk out into the square to the left. Keep going. Walk to the sidewalk on the other side of the street. You know, back far enough so if you turn around, you can see the brown clapboard house. Maybe you want to stand over by the house, number 16, on the brick sidewalk. You see it? You good? All right, now. Turn around and look at the brown house.
My name's Michael Patrick McDonald. I'm the author of All Souls, a family story from Southie. See the brown clapboard home? It's the oldest building in downtown Boston, built about 1680. It was the home of the man of the midnight ride, Paul Revere. Revere was more than a midnight rider. He was also a master of influencing men. People stand here and think of his famous ride, but we're going to a night 4 years earlier, in 1771. It's nighttime. Revere has transformed his house into a theater. Thousands of onlookers fill North Square. A bell tolls in the distance. At one of the upper windows appears the ghost of a boy, Christopher Snyder, who was shot and killed by a merchant loyal to the British. There is young Snyder in the window, back from the grave, above the crowd. He sticks his fingers in the wound in his stomach to stop the blood. A banner hangs down.
Snyder's pale ghost, fresh bleeding, stands, and vengeance for his death demands.
Look, in another window, a banner hangs, showing British soldiers firing into a crowd and blood running in streams. And above the scene, huge words.
Foul play.
The Boston Gazette reported,
"The whole scene was so well executed that the spectators, which amounted to many thousands, were struck with solemn silence."
Paul Revere didn't just talk about his beliefs, he lived them. Like that night, he made his home a monument to British injustice. It's easy to write him off as just a folk hero, a horse rider of legends. But remember, the guy who walked out that door every morning, he was just a regular guy. The son of an immigrant and father of 16 children. Paul Revere was just a normal guy with great courage. And that's how we should remember him.
The Paul Revere Memorial Association has preserved his house. And you're welcome to go inside to see how Revere lived.
All right, now you're going to turn immediately to your right. Begin walking up the brick sidewalk, away from Mr. Revere's house. You're passing by the Sacred Heart Church on your right. All right, now. Beware the Boston street signs. The sign in front of you is usually twisted around the wrong way. So whatever they tell you, Moon Street goes straight ahead, straight past the school on the right. Just keep walking straight across. I actually used to live right up here, just past Lewis Street. You see Amy's Nails up ahead? Yeah, just to the right of that building. I loved living in this neighborhood, man. It was a great, great community. In fact, when I was living here, I was bartending. I used to close up the bar where I worked at, you know, around 2, 2:30 in the morning. and I'd walk down this very street right where you're walking. I just remember how peaceful, how beautifully quiet these streets were. All right, now you're at the corner of Lewis Street. You're going to take a right here and walk on down.
My name is Ray Ganey. I am the chairman of the Fisherman's Feast of Boston, which is sponsored by the Madonna del Soccorso di Sciacca Society of Boston. The city of Sciacca in Sicily is a little fishing village. Every year for the past 504 years in the town of Sciacca, Sicily, there's a festival in honor of the Blessed Mother. When the immigrants settled in the United States, they came to the city of Boston and decided to recreate their festival every August in honor of the Madonna. At the corner of North and Lewis Street, if you look on your right-hand side, there's a brick building. That's our society headquarters. That's the home of Madonna del Soccorso di Sciacca. If you stand in front of our building, you'll see the glass doors. Located behind those glass doors is the statue of our Madonna. Every third weekend in August, the Fisherman's Feast is celebrated. I would say this is equivalent to celebrating Christmas for most Sciaccani in the Boston area. It's a feast in honor of the Madonna. It's a celebration of our culture. It's a celebration of years gone by. It's a way of life for us. There's one constant in our life, and that's the Madonna. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of bands, the music playing, always plenty to eat, which is typical of any Sicilian celebration. And as a result, people from all over the country, all over the world, have come to our festival. Make sure you come down to the North End on the third weekend of August to witness the Fisherman's Feast of Boston. You won't regret it.
Go left now. Keep on walking down Lewis Street. You're going to cross Fulton Street right here. Now you see the stop sign up in front of you? You're going to cross Commercial Street right there. Turn right now and just walk along Commercial Street. Passing the Golden Goose grocery store on your left. I would do a lot of my shopping here, particularly my meatball sub shopping. They have some damn fine meatball subs. Now turn left, down this little cobblestone sidewalk. Watch your ankles. There's a fitness place down on your left-hand side. You want to see some people really not enjoying themselves, check them out. A lot of those people are working very hard to stay in the same place on their treadmills and stationary bikes. Be glad you're not them right now. They're very jealous of you. Now listen up. You're going to walk straight across this intersection, all right? So press pause now and just meet me on the other side. You're in front of the building that says Otis and Ahern. The Boston Sail Loft is over there on the left. You see it? It's a cool place to have a beer if your feet are a little tired and you want to take a break. Turn right now and walk ahead toward that restaurant over there on the left. You're walking past Joe's Bar and Grill. Now boom, you see it? The water. Boston Harbor, my friends. Just walk over to the corner where the wooden walkway meets the cement. That corner right over there on your left. Just stand here for a second. The history of Boston can get kind of heavy. So it's good to come here, to the edge of the sea. Look around. All kinds of schooners and fishing boats used to tie up at Commercial Wharf over on the left. But these days, the boats are recreational, and the old warehouses are now fancy waterfront condos. Turn around for a great view of the city. Walk ahead now, toward that big brick building up ahead. Just walk paralleling the water. If you look back, you can see Commercial Wharf a little bit better now. All right, turn around and keep on walking. A lot of people come to enjoy this park, which was actually recently renovated. A lot of locals, a lot of working people. People who come here during the week who are on their lunch break. You know, families come here to hang out. There's a lot of free concerts here during the summer. It's not really a major tourist destination, which is cool, though. It's a little bit off the beaten path. All right, now you're going to turn left. Just continue walking along the water's edge. You're walking out toward the sea, and you're leaving the city behind you. All the honking horns, the maddening crowds, just leave it all behind you as you walk out towards the water. Now walk onto the wooden walkway on the left. Passing by that blue sign up on the right that says Harbor Walk. Just check out the boats, man, in this little cove. I love it here. All different kinds of boats. You got luxury yachts, you got cool little sailboats, water taxis, commuter boats. Just take it all in. Look at the rocks right below you on your left. Check out the green and black seaweed. The walkway turns to the right here. So do you. Just keep going. Now you're going to turn left. Walk past the sign for the Boston Waterboat Marina. Past the buoys that are hanging from that fence. It's kind of a reminder of when this place really drew its living from the sea. Just breathe in. Let the air into your lungs as you breathe deeply. That saltwater air. And it's so nice. Just leave all your worries behind you as you walk on out here. Leave it all behind you. And relax. Now there's a wooden railing right up here in front of you. Walk to the right of it. Now turn slightly to the right, so you pass by that small brick building over on your left. Just keep walking out. Now straight across from you, there's a compass carved into the end of the wharf. Walk over there and stand in the center of that compass.
I remember the black wharves and the slips, and the sea tides tossing free, and Spanish sailors with bearded lips, and the beauty and mystery of the ships, and the magic of the sea. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
You're surrounded by the sea. And all around you, there's amazing views of the city. South Boston is across the water over on the right-hand side. That's the neighborhood where Michael Patrick McDonald grew up, the guy who spoke about Paul Revere. And way out, if you look straight ahead, you can see some of the Boston Harbor Islands. If you turn to the left slightly and look past the Hyatt Hotel, to the left of Logan Airport. You see all those brick buildings? One's about 5 stories high. That's East Boston over there. That's where I live. That's my neighborhood. Just across the water. I go sailing here on the harbor sometimes and leave out of Piers Park. Straight across the water from here, just in front of those houses. Tides still ebb and flow, just as they have for thousands of years, before Boston was a major world-class city, before the Big Dig, before the Red Sox, before the Mafia, before the Revolution, the Athens of America, the cradle of liberty, the headquarters of the Revolution. Look all around you, 360 degrees. This is Boston. This is my hometown. I love this city. This Boston Odyssey is a production of Odyssey Guides. Experience other cities at www.odysseyguides.com. See the sights.
See the sights.
And hear the legends.
The legends.